reality. Put on Revelation 4 glasses and you will see the one who sits on the throne. He is radiant beauty. His character is holy. His power and authority, they are unrivaled. Not even time can contain this God. And look, he is making all things new. Today, right here, right now, in you and I, in the city of Kelowna, in our world, he is making all things new. And you know how I can be sure of it? Know why we can be sure that the pressures of this life will not crush us? Do you know why we can be sure that discouragement will not win the day? Why sickness and evil and death will not win in the end? We know they won't because of the one we see on the throne next. Chapter 5, verse 6. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus. Yeah, he looked as though he was slain because that's what chaos and evil tries to do. That's what sin results in. But Jesus, he's standing on the throne. The weight of sin and evil did not break Jesus. Death could not hold him in the grave because the Lamb has overcome. And look, he is making all things new through the power of his Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need to see the one on the throne in order to make it. John commands our attention to see who is on the throne. But he also commands our attention to see what is coming from the throne. It's the second thing. Chapter 4, verse 5. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Now, this is an image that is taken directly out of Exodus chapter 19, when Moses ascends Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. Do you remember the scene? It's a scene where the holy God is inviting unholy people into covenant relationship with himself. God promises, I will be your God and you will be my people. Yet though this God invites us to know him, to know his heart, though this God invites us into intimate relationship with him, we should not lose sight of who he is. Flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. You see, the one on the throne is not one to take lightly. He's not one to be ignored. He is not one to play games with. You see, whether we see it or not, we are always standing before a divine power and authority that commands our attention. And look. Look at what's encircling the throne. It's the third thing to see. Halfway through verse 3. A rainbow that shone like an emerald, it encircled the throne. A rainbow. Do you remember the rainbow? It was another one of God's promises. It was the promise never again to destroy the earth with a flood. The rainbow is a reminder of God's mercy. It's a reminder of his faithfulness to us as failed human people. Where peals of thunder and flashes of lightning evoke in us a fear of the Lord for his awesome greatness. The rainbow. The rainbow evokes in us the assurance that it is safe to come close. The holy. He welcomes the unholy into his presence. It's safe to come. No matter what you've done in the past, you are welcomed into the powerful and saving presence of the one who sits on the throne. Fourth, we can see what's in front of the throne. Halfway through verse 5. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. There are two things to see in front of the throne. First, we're told about seven lamps that are the seven spirits of God. What's that all about? Well, back in chapter 1, we learned that when John speaks of the seven spirits of God, it's his way of saying the complete presence and work of the Holy Spirit. The number seven was the number for completeness. And so John is speaking about the complete presence and the complete work of the Holy Spirit. In front of the throne, the complete presence of God is being poured out. Now, friends, I would have you know this. God does not hold himself back from us. He doesn't hold himself back. In front of the throne, the complete presence of God is being poured out. It's being poured out so that he might complete his work. That's what the second thing in front of the throne represents. God's work being completed. Let me explain. The second thing in front of the throne is a sea. Specifically, we're told it's something that looks like a sea of glass that is clear as crystal. This is my favorite image in Revelation chapter 4. The sea. The sea throughout the Bible was an image of chaos. The sea was wild and untamed. In fact, you can read Psalms that speak about the sea as this tempest with this Leviathan, this beast that represents the chaos and the tumult of the sea. And during John's day, many people believed a myth. It's not from the scriptures, but they believed a myth that the world was created by the forces of chaos and evil. That the world came to be from a war that existed between the gods, and what resulted from this war was the chaos of the earth. And there was this looming in the back of people's minds, this belief that the forces of chaos were always trying to pull creation back into the void. It was the idea that the wild, the untamed, the ruthless sea of chaos was always a threat to the vitality of life. But look, before the throne is a sea, but it's a sea of glass. It's clear as crystal. The sea is still. The sea is calm. John is saying that before the one who sits on the throne, the chaos of life, it will not win. The remarkable thing is that at the very end of the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 21, we're given a picture of God's intended destiny for creation. We're given a picture of how things end, what it looks like when all things are finally made new. And you know what it says? It says when all things are finally made new, when heaven and earth come together, that there is no longer any sea. What a strange picture, until we understand that what the sea was, the picture of God's final destiny manifest in creation, is a picture without any sea. It's not that there will be no waters in the new heavens and the new earth. It's that there will be no more chaos. All things that stand in opposition to the goodness and peace of God will be no more. There will be no longer any sea. That's good news. And here's the point. The completed work of God will be manifest in your life one day. Yes, the work of God is manifest in your life today, but the completed, full presence of the Holy Spirit and his work will be manifest in your life one day as God has his way in you. There are lots of people here today that walk with something of a limp. Yeah, for some of you, it might be a physical kind of limp, some kind of physical challenge that you walk with. But we also walk with an emotional limp at times or a relational limp at times. Maybe you have wounds from the past that have left a scar that stand in the way of you experiencing the flourishing that God intends for you. Or maybe you live with fears, anxieties that keep you from experiencing the peace of God's kingdom in your life. Others of you, you might be living with a limp of sin that's robbed you of sustaining joy. You feel trapped. Friends, let us put on Revelation 4 glasses. Look, a throne. And in front of the throne, God is pouring out his complete presence. The chaos will not win. His work will be finished in you. You will not always walk with a limp. Finally, we see what is around the throne in verses 4 and 6. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. Around the throne, there were 24 elders and four living creatures. What's this all about? Who were these elders and who were these creatures? The elders, they were most likely a representative of the entire people of God. Now, there is debate over some of these things, of course, But I believe that the 24 elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel plus the 12 disciples of Jesus. The 24 elders represent the old and the new covenant people of God. They represent you and me. So what about the four living creatures? There was one like a lion, one like an ox, one like a man, and one like a lion. What are we to make of these creatures? Well, it's most likely they represent the whole of God's creation. Just like the four corners of the earth in Revelation represents the whole of God's created earth, the four living creatures represent the whole of God's created creatures. Around the throne are all of God's creatures. They are represented. And all of his covenant people, they are represented. But what is most important is what they are doing. What are they doing? They worship. Day and night, night and day, worship arises to the one who sits on the throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And the elders, they lay down their crowns at the feet of the one who sits on the throne and they worship. You are worthy. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You see, when we come to see things as they really are, when our eyes adjust to what is most real about our lives today, when we look and see the one who sits on the throne, all that he is, all that he has done, all that he has yet to do, there is only one appropriate response. We join the song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Revelation chapter 4, it brings us to the central axis of the entire book of Revelation. It leaves every human being with the same simple question. Will you worship the one who sits on the throne? Our ultimate destiny as creatures, it will be determined by our answer to that very question. So for those of you who are feeling lost, look, a throne with someone sitting on it. And for those of you who are growing bored and uninspired, look, a throne. And for those who feel stuck, those who are struggling with sin, those who are looking for direction in their life, for all those who are discouraged, look, things are not as they seem. Look, a throne, and someone is sitting on it. He is radiant beauty. His character is holy. His power and authority, they are unrivaled. They know no end. Not even time can contain the one who sits on the throne. And look, he is uncompromisingly holy, yet he welcomes us, the unholy. It is safe to come into his presence. He is pouring out the fullness of his presence into his world because chaos, it will not win. He will finish his good work in your life because he's making all things new. So, church, as we fix our glasses and focus our gaze on the one who sits on the throne, let us respond with the only response that we could ever make. Let's join the chorus. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. What a gift that you have given us in the book of Revelation. Because you give us eyes to see what we can't see ourselves. And when you give us eyes to see, you show us yourself, you show us your glory, your holiness, your power, your might, and your redemptive plan for our lives. Jesus, we confess that as your people, we haven't always seen what we need to see. That we've grown discouraged and bored and sinful because we haven't fixed our eyes on what is really real. And so, Jesus, this morning, as we look to the throne where the Ancient of Days sits and where Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, stands, we say that you are worthy. You are worthy of all our praise. And as your people, we sing.
We cry, holy, holy, holy. Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. If the
sing that chorus again.
And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy.
This morning, and there needs to be a reordering in your life. I don't really know what that is, but I do know that as we worship, as we turn to Jesus, as we give him our yes, there is a reordering that happens. And so maybe you need to come forward and spend some time with the Lord, have someone pray with you. I want to invite you to that. Worship is the great reordering of our lives. Because when we put Jesus at the center, when we open our eyes to see him for who he really is, our life begins to make sense. But not just begins to make sense, we know the one who knows the way to life and life in its fullness. So as you go from this place today, go with eyes wide open to know what is most real about your life. Look, a throne. There's someone sitting on it. And he loves you dearly. And he will not rest until you experience the fullness of life that is found only in him. Go in the love of God, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and with the power of Jesus today. Bless you. Go in peace.
Jealous, you're jealous for us. You're jealous for us.